My name is Mark Chalmers, and I'm president and CEO of Energy Fuels. Energy Fuels is a critical mineral company that is centered around uranium, but is rapidly building a rare earth production capabilities at the White Mesa Mill in Utah and securing properties around the globe to feed that mill. So it's a really exciting company story. There is no one like Energy Fuels. Normally, you would invest in a uranium company or a rare earth company, but with Energy Fuels, you get an investment in both.
Mark, I am so pleased to have you on here. I think we've got ourselves a little bit of a scoop. You've just announced the Base Resources deal. I think it's super, super exciting. You've done what you said you were going to do. I mean, tell us about the deal.
Well, it's a merger with Base Resources, and Base Resources has a quite a long history of being a successful heavy mineral sand producer in Kenya, the Kwale project. It's coming to an end, but they also have been working to develop the Toliara project in Madagascar, which is a very large, known, high-grade, very profitable project when it finally gets all its approvals. And it has a lot of monazite, Matt, a lot of monazite. So we see it as fitting in right into our wheelhouse with the acquisition of Bahia and soon to be, hopefully, the Donald project in Victoria, Australia, to add Toliara and the Base team to our company is really exciting. So I think that it's showing how we're building scale and scale of world significance. I've been saying that for a long time. We want to be world significant, and this is another step. So, you know, watch this space, and we're also getting a full team of people that actually are operating the heavy mineral sands business and have been profitable for the last number of years.
Tell us a little bit about what we've interviewed Base Resources since 2019. We understand it, but perhaps some of the listeners and viewers will be interested in saying, well, what is the size of the opportunity here? What do we know?
Well, I mean, Base's own DFSs and PFSs indicate that it could have EBITDA of between about 350 to 400 million US per year. It's a long-term project, like 40 to 50 years of resource. The monazite, contained monazite, is literally 2% monazite in the HM. And they're planning on recovering, when the project goes into production, around 22,000 tons of monazite per year. And they have a resource of 1.4 million tons of monazite and inferred resource of another almost 800,000 tons of monazite. So this is a big project. And it's very simple technically. It has been mirrored in some delays with the Madagascar government, but they are just passed a new mining code and stability agreement. So we're quite confident that they're going to get approvals this year to go forward. And if it's not this year, next year. So we see it as a absolutely world-class asset to put into our corral as we build out a world-significant rare earth production capabilities with a real quality asset that fits perfectly into our wheelhouse.
Right. Okay. So the mineral sands, there's, I mean, you talk about monazite there, obviously, in terms of byproducts and contributors towards the bottom line. What else are we looking at in that?
Zircon, rutile, and ilmenite. So, okay. You know, so that those are those. Again, this is a very profitable mine on those elements alone. It doesn't need monazite or rare earth prices to be profitable. So that's one of the exciting things about this, is that this is a project that stands on its own without the monazite. And matter of fact, for years, nobody even wanted to talk about the monazite. But when you add the combination of the heavy mineral sands and the monazite, it is really a standout, or we believe will be a standout in due course when it's developed and operating.
Right. Okay. Now, obviously, the North American factor comes into play here. You know, we've seen sort of Chinese going and wrapping up these large-scale projects, you know, globally. But the North American, you know, critical minerals hub, you know, which you have at White Mesa, and I guess the burgeoning need of the North American market, Does this help not just your plant, but does this help you with conversations internally, getting those sort of that kind of government backing? Does it help with opening up new markets in the North American market for you?
Look, I think that the combination of assets that we're acquiring fits right in the wheelhouse of the United States government from a bipartisan perspective, because we're covering places like Brazil, Australia, and Africa. So I think this is just going to be the beginning of a lot of wins for Energy Fuels. You know, there's been people that have been out there doubting that, you know, why would we diversify into things like rare earths when the uranium business is good? And it is good. And we're capitalizing on the uranium business right now. But this is a really, really nice bolt-on, as I said, of world significance, with really excellent cost structures in due course.
Right. Well, and also I'm just thinking about some of the factors that this brings into play, such as mitigate or diversifying your risk profile, mitigating some of those factors. Now, rare earths were, you know, shooting up last year before it kind of came off a bit. You know, uranium has been through its rise. It's on the up at the moment. I mean, what does this do for the kind of revenue potential for your company, for White Mesa, and in terms of your board's view about how you continue to diversify risk?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, as I said, the bases at DFS and PFS for the heavy mineral sand and monazite, they indicated that the average EBITDA over, you know, several decades was going to be around that 350 to 400 U.S. per year EBITDA. And that is just basically selling those products. It's not getting the value add. So we think that we can get further value add by processing the monazite into separated products, heavies and lights. And so it fits into an area where we can get additional value out of the acquisition with Base and Toliara and their expertise, while we still have revenue from uranium and the price uranium's up. So, you know, everything we do, Matt, and, you know, I've said this before, has radioactivity involved with it. Now, the heavy mineral sands aren't radioactive, but the monazite certainly is. And we can recover the uranium from that monazite. I mean, just the uranium recovery from the monazite is somewhere in the order of around 75,000 pounds of uranium per year at around $8 or $9 a pound. So it's not a lot of uranium, but it's low cost uranium. And so that's another cherry on the cake here for us, and how we can monetize the uranium when others are just going to throw it away.
Right. Okay. And let's stick with the base resources still, if we may. So you said to me in the past, you know, you want to build up this rare earths component, this additional arm of revenue and opportunity. And you compare yourself to MP and Lynas, or wanting to compare yourself to MP and Lynas. Obviously, you know, they are multi-billion dollar companies. Where does this deal put you in relation to them, and maybe in terms of production profile or potential EBITDA?
I think catching up really quickly. Okay, we still have to get these projects up and running. We still need to do we've got the phase one separation plant being commissioned right now, and we still need to build out the phase two, phase three at the mill for the larger rare earth circuit. But what it shows is that we are building the molecules and building the skill set, and we have the skill set to do the separations with this phase one, and that puts us in an ideal position to move on to phase two, you know, as we build this feed up. So our goal is, look, everyone has their own business plan. You know, Lynas has been successful in what they do. MP is also a significant mine in the United States, focus on bastnaesite. Lynas is focused on hard rock monazite, and we're focused on monazite sands from heavy mineral sands operations. So we all have our own business plan, and we all need each other to be successful to provide enough elements for this energy transition and electrification. So I would just say that we're doing and driving our bus and securing this additional feed or project in the context of the other projects we have, I hope it sends a clear message to people. We are in this seriously as a very nice complement to our uranium business and our ability to handle the uranium and the radioactivity associated in these kind of feats.
Right. Okay. So this isn't a case of promoting and riding the momentum wave. This is building a real business, generating real revenues. That's the goal.
Absolutely. And that isn't always the goal of everybody. So we're focused on a profitable, high margin earnings company of significant scale. And that's what we're executing. So, I mean, if you look at the timeline when we got into the rare earths 4 years ago and the rare earth prices were high, and you look at the advances we made with making a carbonate, partially separated product, acquiring Bahia, getting an MOU with Astron on the Donald Project, starting commissioning of phase one, and now this announcement, I think we're making pretty solid progress here. We're not just sitting on our bums.
Yeah, it's very interesting times indeed. And is this the potential first of additional deals, similar deals, whether they've been mergers, acquisitions, or agreements for feed? I mean, how do you view the future? Is this enough to keep you going for a while?
This is enough to keep us going for a while. But you know, we're looking at full integration. We have an initiative to move beyond the separation of the lights and the heavies into the metals and alloys. So we're working on that. And the step after that is magnets. So we're looking for full integration. We're funding a lot of this on the back of the uranium business that we have that is ramping up rapidly. So it's just a very interesting time, Matt. But we're focused on long-term value for shareholders, not just a run-up in the share price just for the sake of pushing the share price up. So, you know, we're builders and doers. We're not promoters.
Okay, and let's go to uranium, because there's a lot of cries from people out there going, I wish they'd stick to the uranium and forget about the rare earths. And I think perhaps this answers that question for sure. I hope it doesn't, or we can certainly talk about it into the future. But back to uranium. Uranium's been on a run. It's kind of reset back down at lower levels, taking the kind of shine off the momentum play, but still, in terms of real businesses, you've got to feed that mill. So you're mining, and are you doing the buying schedules that you talked about, or are you talking?
Yeah, we're talking to people about buying schedules, and we're probably going to custom make them for each operator, because there's probably not going to be very many people that would actually take us up on that, or even have a mine ready to sell us ore. So we're planning to try to sign up a couple parties to provide feed to the mill under a buying schedule. And, you know, and Matt, you know, and I think I've told you, we're never getting out of the uranium business. I mean, I've been doing this for 48 years. And when I go underground, I want to grab a jackleg and start mining uranium. So, you know, it's just about adding the maximum long-term value for our shareholders. That is why we're doing what we're doing. But I'll never get out of the uranium business. And anyone who thinks I'm getting out of the uranium business, don't lose any sleep over that. You can talk to my wife and she'll say he'll never get out of the uranium business.
She's tried. Okay, but I want to be clear. So these are inbound conversations. You're not going chasing anyone. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we publicly said we were looking at a buying schedule, and there's been some inbounds and maybe even a few outbounds, but we're building the source of feed to the mill. I mean, we've got Pandora and LaSalle operating. We've got the Pinyon Plain mine, a mining right now operating, and we're bringing feed in. That is a hungry mill. And if we can buy product to process or to process through that mill, and it makes sense to us, we'll certainly consider buying it.
Okay. Mark, appreciate you making the time to talk to us hot off the press. Come back and tell us more when you're allowed to, okay?
Will do. Exciting times, Matt. Thank you very much.